This is the BBC Home Service. We present Dot by Ed Harris.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing.
Quick word, if I may, Dotty.
Yes, Millicent.
Picture post. Know of it?
Why, Millicent, it's the weekly magazine of British pluck, where with all the blitz spirit, a pioneer...
Precisely. Simply mawkish chat for the proletariat to smear his snout against over his cold dishwater porridge.
Oh, to you and me, possibly.
Damnest thing, old girl. Keep finding copies of it everywhere. The head table in the canteen, covering most of Belgium on the European map in operations.
How queer.
Or the one on Air Marshal Peabody's desk.
Yes, confounding.
Hidden inside his copy of the Telegraph.
It's probably Myrtle. I'll have her fired.
Air Marshal Peabody is remotely heading the campaign in Africa. He hasn't time to read a facile, self-aggrandizing interview with his head of personnel.
There's a colour photo, too.
For goodness sake, there's a war on. We're not your mother.
Quite.
Oh, and on which gruelling subject, with regard to your article, a telegram arrived for you.
It can't be. Really? Did Mother write?
Intelligence has had their paws all over it already, and yes, you're correct, it's not Mummy. It's Lord Basil Cornley Orks.
Oh, hell no. Oh,
come now, Dotty, he's very highly regarded. He runs the entertainment for all the forces. He caught your interview and asks if you'd like to stop by for a cup of tea.
Hell's pendulous others, Millicent. I'd sooner watch Myrtle perform shadow puppets with her own snot again.
He sounds very fond of you.
Millicent Hillary Jones!
Sir!
Can't survive without you in operations, old girl.
Must offity pop, old brick. Back to operations where the real work's done.
Testicular jowls, Peg.
Bit busy right now, old girl.
In a moment of wanton abstraction. Peg!
Typing dot.
Totally by accident, Peg. I leave a copy of Picture Post in operations, and Millicent has the affront to commandeer me and... Peg! Typing what?
Oh, just taking a stroll around the keytops.
Why?
Ambient eyes.
Stop it at once. Thing is, I left a copy of my interview in Peabody's office, and I'd rather hope Peabody might have...
Promoted it.
Spotted it, yes. Young, vibrant, can-do gal, sparky and ready for action. I mean, I'm not so frightfully hard to work with, am I? So long as one isn't thought of as some noxious, frightful baboon of a colleague, blundering into furniture and crashing down coal chutes. Actually, where is Myrtle?
She went to the dentist.
Oh, yes, she's getting one of her milk tusks wrestled out of her maw. Two men to hold back the mandibles and a third to hack at anything moving until it goes quiet.
Well, so long as she doesn't get the whole bag load out. They say dentures saves on maintenance and expense in the long run, but I say it saves time just to brush the ones you want to keep.
Sir!
At ease! As you'll know, ladies, every red-blooded Englishman dreams of the day he'll meet a woman who doesn't make his sexuality a grinding chore.
I am duly informed, sir.
But to think, mayhaps, as the dust settles over London this morning, this may be my day. Behold, beauty.
Morning, Dotty.
That's Myrtle, sir. She's what we use when the toilet brush breaks.
No, I've never before set eyes on this bombshellian young filly in my life.
But that is Myrtle, sir. One time you mistook her for the results of an over-emphatic sneeze.
Codswallop and tripe.
I simply mean, you see her month on month. That's good old everyday, never been in a magazine, Myrtle. Picture post especially. Nothing's changed.
Well, I had my teeth out.
Couldn't you simply bathe in that gooey honeysuckle accent?
Your teeth? All of them? You only went in because you had a wobbly incisor.
It was a very smooth talker. And they let me pick out my new ones for my dentures. Look! My feet lovely.
Like skinny dipping in hot molasses and butter.
You had them all out.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Or a mermaid guzzling peaches, juices cascading down her bare, moonlit neck.
Myrtle?
Look. Take that, Hitler!
But it makes no sense.
Oh, did you like them, Dotty?
Not really, but they were the only thing drawing attention from the rest of your face.
And I, bobbing hapless in my dinghy, bewitched by her syrupy song.
It was one wobbly tooth, which probably would have remained healthy had you learned to chew on the bars of your cage like the rest of the litter.
I got it from a breakfast-related eating hazard.
She bet into a free toy.
A free toy? There's a war on. We've no time for consumer levity.
They was discontinued when the war broke.
But...
For a price, my Uncle Ken has access to the warehouse, taps, nose and winks.
Yes, you don't have to say taps, nose if you're doing it, Myrtle.
It was a small tin model of Neville Chamberlain holding the Declaration of Peace. I'm collecting the whole historical set. Churchill looking dubious about the appeasement, Hitler signing but crossing his fingers. I've got all of them except the luggage handler at Heston Aerodrome.
Say, bored of this, new subject. What's that magazine?
Oh, this tired old picture post. Well, I meant to tidy it away, but I promised Peg I'd show her my article. It's embarrassing, really.
Fascinating piece. Fantastic photo.
Then allow me. Dorothy says, as head of personnel, I see my role in the cabinet war rooms as the jam that sticks the roly-poly together.
Not that. Other page.
Leamington's, the Hollywood toothpaste for every budding starlet. It's just an advertisement, sir.
It's a competition for the world's next Leamington's gal. Bless my britches and consecrate my corduroys if we haven't just found our entry.
Oh, I couldn't possibly. And one has to be interviewed, procure an entire new wardrobe, probably undertake photographic shoots, and then sign a 12-month renewable contract to upsticks and live in Hollywood as a dental model. And I have timesheets all afternoon.
A faintly risible misunderstanding, but patently I meant another.
What?
The only girl in Britain with teeth magnificent enough to impress the Yanks. Why, as the Gleamington gal in Hollywood, she'll show the world what British grit is made of. Yet more grit. Rule Britannia. Make Britain grit again. You can see where I'm going.
But Myrtle?
My goodness. My gracious. My Myrtle.
Taken this a tad badly, haven't you, Dot?
So have not.
Allow her her little moment.
I would if she weren't, like, rubbing it in our faces all day. And what about my moment? What about Dotty's moment, Peg? I think Dotty should get a moment.
Myrtle's the only person who hasn't avoided reading your article. And you know how hard it is for her to read. She couldn't even sign a get-well card for the caretaker.
Shh! Here she comes. Don't make eye contact.
Dot!
Look at your food.
Hello, Dotty. Hello, Peg. Room for a little one?
Oh, no, actually. We were saving a spot for, off the background.
Rhubarb, rhubarb.
Saved your seat, bestie.
Oh, rhubarb, rhubarb.
Who? Her? No, that's not anyone special. That's just Myrtle.
Rhubarb, Myrtle, rhubarb.
Don't be silly. She looks the same as ever. And certainly not a bombshell background. Not even the full shilling. Just same old stupid Myrtle. Right, Murty?
Right. Does he? Just same old stupid Myrtle.
Don't allow her her moment.
She's had her moment and now she's going, aren't you, Myrtle?
Right, yeah. I'll go back to having my lunch under the cistern, like before we were friends.
Yeah, great, whatever.
Bye, Dotty, bye, Peg. Bye. Background.
That wasn't nice, Dotty.
Well, if you love her so much, why don't you marry her?
Oh, maybe I will.
Myrtle, have you met Millicent Hillary-Hillary-Jones?
Hello, Miss Hillary-Hillary-Jones.
You look different, Myrtle.
Ravishing, what? She's the girl I mentioned about the Gleamington's competition.
And I, for one, can't think of a more charming girl.
Cook, can't Miss Hillary-Hillary-Jones.
Oh, hanging out at top table, is she? Too good for us.
You know perfectly well, Myrtle's the only one here who likes you, Dot.
That's it. I want to write directly to Lord Basil Corley Oaks.
How did you get from what I said to that?
Yes, exactly, Peg. She'll get her moment.
Are we even in the same room?
Precisely, old girl. Our staff wouldn't be distracted from the war effort by competition.
She's in her own little world. How are you, Officer Background?
Peg, flex your typing muscles and follow me back to the office. I have a bright idea. Awaiting your advice on the matter, yours sincerely, Dorothy. And then you know my surname.
So just pop that in.
Just pop that in, followed by Head of Personnel, Cabinet War Room, Second Series.
Sign here.
Dorothy J. Now, be a brick and trot that round to Corley Oaks.
By the way, I thought you loathed Lord Corley Oaks.
Needs must, Peg. Basil Corley Oaks is in charge of ENSA, the Entertainment's National Service Association, so be careful. Before one knows what's happening, one's hoodwinked, hog-tied into a corset and goose-stepped into regimented lines, reciting Camp Shakespeare in a drafty scout hut in Crawley, or put into one of his
comedies.
Sounds rather jolly.
Something falling on one's head every 2.5 minutes does not make for comedy. 3 hours, Peck. 3 grueling hours of alleged double entendres every second sentence. Things falling on one's head and looking at the audience as if to say, awkward.
Slapstick's a popular form of entertainment.
Fascism's popular, Peg. Doesn't mean it's nourishing. Sir Corley Hawkes is an egotistical tyrant with great sweeping antlers for eyebrows, but he won't be fond of private enterprise cashing in on his personnel.
You're torpedoing Merkel's chances.
Indeed. Gleamington's canaffity off, old brick, as can you. Chop, chop, Peg. And don't meet his eye, or you'll be scrubbing sequins and grease paint out of your intimate regions for the rest of the war.
I've heard worse.
Off. Now, to complete this sentence in silence and perfect isolation. Sir!
At ease.
Certainly, Doc won't mind if we do it in here. It is Myrtle's office, too.
Do what? Sorry?
My interview for Gleamington's.
I'm having my office exorcised by the Dean of Westminster, having found a succession of picture posts materialise about the room. I'm not a superstitious man.
But?
That's it. I'm not a superstitious man. But I do behave and think like one. I'll pop my bot on this chair, Myrtle. Bonnie Moon Princess, you can sit there.
You're interviewing Myrtle?
Mr. Gleamington is an erstwhile school chum. Old Eggnogger and I used to be the poster boys of the Lower Fifth's plep-baiting team.
Peabody is one of Eggnogger Gleamington's trusted Gleamington representatives, and as such will be conducting the interview.
And Millicent's chipping in occasionally so that we don't become too dialogue-heavy in my favour.
You'd think that, with your being an air marshal in the cabinet war rooms, you wouldn't have time to be a Gleamington representative as well.
Yes. Still, things don't always have to make sense, do they? Not all the time. So, interview questions. Ah, here. What is your name?
Myrtle.
Lovely. Who do you work for?
You.
Splendid. Lovely. What is the code for contacting the Oberkommando der Luftwaffe? What is the code for
contacting... You don't know, put an outside line, sir, that's all I know.
Sir?
Hello?
I wonder if perhaps another set of questions?
Quite right. It should be more like, what's your fave hobbies? Humphrey Bogart, U-boat or dreamboat? I had it here somewhere. Good grief! But if I've got the list of questions for captured spies...
Oh, no!
Precisely. One can only imagine what topsy-turvy occurrence is happening downstairs in the interrogation rooms.
Yes, sir.
Hysterical, I'd imagine.
And yet we're up here.
Righto, cracking on. I'm sure for this preternatural moon goddess, the interview is just a formality. After all, Gleamington is an old friend, and the photographs are the real meat and two veg. Millicent, pop down to Oxford Street with Myrtle here and take her shopping for the shoot. There's a few bob in the petty cash tin.
Immediately, sir.
Well, that went quicker than I thought. Finishing up for the weekend already, and it's only 3:30. What? Give woman here standing with uniform hat.
Dotty, sir.
Give Dotty a pat on the back for letting us use her human-sized space with 4 corners and...
Office, sir?
Office. Enter!
Rhubarb.
He spilt his guts, you say? Marvellous stuff, officer background. The Oberkommando der Luftwaffe's code will be cracked in no time. Pass me his answers. Pass me up. Oh, dear. Oh, goodness. Just as I suspected, the files were mixed up, and it was hilarious.
We'll try again, sir.
Not you. Millie, Myrtle, Oxford Street. Now.
Call. Yes, sir.
Sir.
Damnable shame about the prisoner.
Perhaps one might send him to Hollywood and Myrtle to some kind of excruciating prisoner of war camp. It's the last thing Jerry would be expecting, sir.
Myrtle de la Mort is going to be the Vera Lynn of English teeth. And may I give you some avuncular advice? Be good to people on their way up, because it's them you'll wish you'd been on your way down.
Thank you, sir.
Gniffips.
Oh, Peg, it's not that I don't want good things to happen to good people.
Just not on your watch.
Not that Myrtle's good people, necessarily, but she's a kind of June approximation, isn't she?
Are you certain you're not a teensy bit afeard that Myrtle's propulsion to Hollywood means you may discover that deep down you'll miss her?
Oh, you are good for morale, Peg. No, it's not that. May Myrtle choke on her meretricious fluke, as she has on so many collectible tin figurines. Talking of choking hazards, how on earth was Lord Cornley Orr?
Oh, terrifying.
Quite.
He insisted on a succession of warm-up exercises before we even began, and I dare say he improvised his whole share of our dialogue.
Ghastly.
He seemed fond of you.
Well, he might. I passed him in the corridor once, and for the next 3 months I was forced to tour the southeast playing Goneril's sense of objectivity. Do you know King Lear?
No.
He didn't think it was essential either. In the end, the actress playing Cordelia's sense of levity threw herself onto an unexploded bomb in Midhurst.
Good God.
So I had to double up. Typical. But did you give him my letter?
I did.
Good. He'll put a stop to all this Gleamington's poppycock.
Hello, ladies.
Good heavens, Myrtle. You look like someone's beaten up Christmas.
Cool, thanks, Dotty. It's only a bit of glitter and glam. Sprig of diamond, the hips. A snippet of fox fur. Millicent chose everything. Even what they did with my front upper bottom.
Ugh.
The lady in the shop said I looked pretty as a picture.
A picture of Hackney Marshes.
You look wonderful, Myrtle. I'm very happy for you.
A picture of Dorian Idiot.
How does it feel to be famous? Oh, can you do that thing with your teeth as they do on the billboards with the star going ding?
Oh, wait. Yeah, I have to concentrate, though. Wait. There.
We all have teeth, Peggy. And we can all do that.
Well, go on, then.
I must concentrate first. 3, 2. Gosh, what was that?
Oh, look. It's only Goebbels. Must have dropped out my purse.
Not more of those awful tin figurines.
Yeah, except I've got no time to collect them anymore, because being famous now...
Yes, well, mind you don't jeopardise your entire career by making the same mistake you did last time and biting onto...
Jeopardise my entire career by what, Dotty? Jeopardise my career thing how?
Sorry, did I say something?
About how Myrtle could jeopardise her entire career by... And then you fell ominously silent and pretended to find a speck of something on your collar.
Serious.
You're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, forget her, Myrtle.
Yes, you forget me, Myrtle. You enjoy your fame and success. You've earned it.
Thanks, Dotty.
And talking of earning, you can probably complete your collection now, can't you?
Do you think?
Oh, you can purchase Uncle Ken's whole warehouse of cereals now. I'll happily even sub you a farthing to get you started. Every girl has a hobby. It's said even Marlena Dietrich collects stickers of the Irish Jacobites being defeated at the 1691 Battle of Aughrim.
Cool, does she?
Here, the two of you would have a lot to talk about.
Thanks, Dotty.
Now off with you, you lovable scamp, and go and paint the world your unique shade of huzzah.
I will.
Oh, and don't forget Goebbels.
No fear, ginger beer. Strap in, Joey G. You and me are gonna be famous.
That's the spirit, Mert.
TPSN.
Why on earth did you pay for Myrtle to start her collection again?
Oh, come on, Peg. That was minutes ago. How should I remember now?
You're a squalid piece of work.
Oh, yes, that's why. One moment. I think I've got it.
Got what?
There we are. Now, you were saying how clever I am.
Dotty! Dotty!
Busy.
But my teeth, Dotty!
I know, you're a gargantuan success, Myrtle. You made that abundantly clear.
No, Dotty! Something's gone wrong.
The penny's dropped about how meaningless it is to pursue brief recognition in a brutally indifferent universe.
Well, no, it's great.
You've realised that by contributing to the impossible aspirational dreams of young women who then blame themselves and their bodies for their not having achieved your lofty... No, I've lost myself now. What is it, Myrtle?
I broke my teeth on the Earl of Halifax.
What?
Like you said, Dotty, a girl needs an hobby. So there I was with a whole new packet of cereal.
Oh, dear.
And you know me, needles to say.
Needless, but continue.
Needless. Needles to say. Once I get me face into a box of cereal and stop chomping, I won't stop for breath.
Quite.
And you'll never guess what, Dotty.
You did it again.
I did it again.
Oh. Let's see. Present your snout, Myrtle. Open. Mmm. Yes. Mmm.
It's not good, is it, Dotty?
I had wondered whether your flaunting and vamping about might have led to some kind of poetic justice.
Flaunting? And vamping?
Pride comes before a fall, Myrtle, and you were self-centred, unthinking and overbearing, at points verging on the tyrannical.
Oh, no.
Having poor Millie running around after you assembling your wardrobe.
But people
you
who
heard
said...
Peg in tears once or twice.
But Peg's me chum.
As am I. Well, was, after some of that.
No, Dotty, please. Are you teasing me? Because I'm not the full shilling, be honest. Stupid old Myrtle. Like what you said. Are you joking, Dotty?
Myrtle. I wish to God I had the temperament for tomfoolery and horseplay.
Be honest, Dotty, I'll trust you.
You were awful. 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 Awful.
That's it. Sure, I wanted my luggage hanger at a Heston Aerodrome figurine, but at what cost, Dotty? At what cost? Fame and I are going our separate ways. Me and my pals are sticking together, right, Dotty? If you forgive me.
Oh, Myrtle. You're still trying to make everything about you, aren't you?
Oh, Dotty, you're right, I am awful. And there was stupid awful me. And I had the arrogance, not the arrogance, that I was going to ask you if you'd want to come along and manage me. But who'd want to manage a big-headed, self-centred
tyrannical.
Tyrannical.
Wait. Manage you?
Yeah, like a real Managerosaurus Rex. Not that you'd want to come to Hollywood and manage a crazy, egotistical diva.
Wait, Hollywood?
Oh, everyone in Hollywood has a manager. Bloody Hollywood, though, eh? Where dreams are made and friendships are ruined, no doubt.
Well, friendship isn't everything.
It is to me.
And to me, Ulbrich, and to me. Now, listen, as Dotty's friend...
Best friend.
Mm.
Best friend, Dotty. Mm.
If... Mm. Yes, if you like, Mertie. As your... suddenly best friend, Mertie, baby. Perhaps you might show me those lovely rows of palatial whites again. Oh, and what about in Peg's drawers for some superglue?
Superglue?
No superglue? Hammer and nails should do it. Let's see what we can salvage.
Coming right up. Oh, and Dotty.
What?
You're my best friend too.
Sir! The most bright and brilliantine of mornings to you both, Myrtle. And lady standing with hat and suitcase.
Dotty, sir.
Funny to think you've all got your own little names, isn't it? Lady with hat and suitcase.
Each and every one, Air Marshal.
Anyway, we're here to say goodbye to our own bonny moon petal, Myrtle. How are you this morning, Myrtle?
If I may explain, Air Marshal, I'm afraid Myrtle's lawyers have asked that we treat Myrtle's teeth as carefully as we might the world's greatest paintings, sir. But she did pen something for you, if I may.
By the way...
In accordance with my lawyer's recommendations, I, Myrtle, will, at all costs, keep my sensitive teeth safeguarded from damaging natural and artificial light until my manager and I touch down in California and I can be examined by a virtuoso, quick-working and not bribe-averse dentist.
Fair, fair.
Also, in accordance with my lawyer's wishes, my manager, Dorothy...
Hmm?
My manager, Lady with Hat and Suitcase,
ah,
will be my sole spokesperson, agent and trustee, and as such be answerable to a reasonable 65% of income from all appearances, photo shoots and merchandise hereafter. Oh, you're right. Sorry, 75%. 80. Honestly, Myrtle, you can see how this works.
So, hence your hat and suitcase, Lady with Hat and Suitcase. You're for the off as well.
Oh, with your permission, Air Marshal. Alas, away from the Blitz, to California, to live under the bright blue azure and to sleep without fear of waking up with my head no longer attached to my body and much of my legs somewhere in Winnersh.
Ah, Millicent Hillary Hillary Jones. Lady here wants to travel with Myrtle to America.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Tickety-boo with me.
Really?
Gosh, yes. Throw the ballast overboard, I say. Drop the dead weight. Kick the slovenly, work-shy, self-aggrandizing, opportunistic arse out of the cabinet war rooms post-bloody haste, as they say.
Won't we need a new head of personnel?
Morning, everyone.
Peg will do it.
Well, I don't know which cubicle doors you've been reading, Billy, but I...
Peg will be the new head of personnel.
Magnificent! Shorter, deeper voiced lady with a Scottish... Is that Scottish?
Mostly.
Accent will be the new head of personnel.
Grab our suitcases, Myrtle. We've got a long journey, so put it back into it. Toodle-bye, all.
Toodle-bye, all, Bean.
Oh, there is just one thing.
What?
Oh. Needn't worry you, old girl. Poppity off now. It's for the head of personnel. From the Prime Minister, directly.
Gosh, well, after all these minutes, it's nice to finally have some recognition.
Well, it's not necessarily for Peg. Until moments ago, I was the...
To the head of personnel, my war rooms.
Gosh, you're right, it is from him.
Give that here.
I'm reading.
Thanking you for your letter to Sir Basil Cornley Ox forwarded to me regarding the appropriateness of types of extracurricular activities for members of personnel.
Come on, Mert, quickly, quickly.
No hurry, Dotty.
Well, there's always some hurry, Millicent. The clock ticks, the grave looms.
All activities henceforth suspended with immediate effect. Any personnel recently volunteered for extracurricular activities to report to Lord Basil Cornley Hawkes, head of ENSA,
for immediate positioning in related ENSA roles.
But...
Oh, and at the last moment, how sad.
But Grit, sir.
As it happened, Dorothy, I ran into Lord Basil Cornley Hawkes cycling into Whitehall this morning. We exchanged a few stories, I can tell you.
Did you?
Oh, yes. And he was describing to me your gonorrhoeal.
That might sound like a naughty pun, but it's actually not. It's just a word.
Anyway, I invited...
It's not even a pun.
...him in for a cup of tea. And when he heard you and Myrtle were such champions of the arts, he was overcome with cloying, spidery animation.
No.
Come on in, Basil. Everyone, this is Sir Basil Cornley Hawkes.
Hello, darlings. I hear you're keen for the tour.
Oh, gosh, that sounds terribly exciting. A tour, you say?
Dangerous, obviously. Gunfire, shell shock, West End transfer. Then, hysterically, the set falls on his head. Awkward!
On the head!
And look, Dotty and Myrtle already have their suitcases packed.
Oh, yes, so we do.
Hooray!
Hooray! I told you the glue wouldn't hold, Dotty.
Hurry, Dot. The play won't rehearse itself. Oh, gosh, you'll have fun.
Thank you, Millicent.
No, thank you, Dotty.
In Dot by Ed Harris, Dot was played by Fenella Woolgar, Myrtle by Cato Flynn, Peg by Freya Parker, and Millicent by Jane Slater. Air Marshal Peabody was played by David Acton, Lord Basil Cornley Hawkes by David Stern, Officer Background as himself. The director was Jessica Mittage.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like...